If your vibe is the earlier the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Look, we're not saying all the other sports talk networks are backwards, but we're pretty sure they all have a favorite Hee-Haw episode.
Get on the grid.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
College football, full circle.
How soon can this program get back to prominence?
I've been in L.A. for a few hours here. there's a lot of good things going on in this program right now that we can absolutely build on. I think in this day and age, with the way college football works, you can turn over rosters in so many different ways, and we'll be very, very deliberate and creative and intentional about that. And with, again, the combination of the staff we're going to bring in, the players we're going to bring in, the leadership that we have, the support we have, you know, how's it not going to work? No time soon enough, but we're going to fight like crazy and take advantage of every moment.
Okay, college football full circle. Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello getting it started here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. A lot of things to get into today. Mike Carver on vacation in Baton Rouge or New Orleans, or he's trying to track down Brian Kelly after he bolted South Bend. But, Rich, it's always a pleasure to talk about the coaching carousel and the updated conference championships this coming Saturday. Do want to break down some news and notes. Colorado State head coach Steve Adazio chopped. He's out. They fired him today. Adrian Martinez, Rich, enters the transfer portal. That's pretty interesting for Scott Frost. 3-9, disappointing year. But the news of the day happens in South Bend. Marcus Freeman potentially could be the new head coach for Notre Dame. We know that Brian Kelly moved on to Baton Rouge for the LSU Tigers. This would be a great hire and really solidify this program if, in fact, they do make the college football playoff.
Yeah, it's been a great week, Joe. Great to be on with you as always. Coaching carousel like nothing we've seen before. Last year didn't spin as wild as it normally does. It was an odd year. Some teams didn't play. Some teams played abbreviated schedules, and there weren't as many big coach firings or coach movings. And now this week alone, you got, as you mentioned, Brian Kelly going from Notre Dame to LSU, Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma to USC. Lots of big openings still out there. Marcus Freeman would be interesting. A highly regarded young coach, highly regarded as one of the top rising defensive coordinators. Many within South Bend thought that he would someday be the successor to Brian Kelly. Is he ready at this point would be my question. Mid-30s, no head coaching experience. Typically at a program like Notre Dame, you're bringing someone who has been a head coach before. Earlier in the week when Brian left, my first thought was, the most sensible hire, if they could get him, would be Luke Fickell, but it looks like ND is going to stay in-house at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing, the situation regarding Luke Fickell is where the Cincinnati Bearcats are in their season, right? They're in the top four in terms of the latest college football rankings. Can they solidify that spot and knock down that door? They have to take care of business against Dana Holgorsen and the Houston Cougars. But more importantly, did Notre Dame want to wait? That was the biggest thing. And we heard that, you know, they would wait potentially for Luke Fickell, but from a recruiting aspect, do you really want to give up that month, potentially month and 2 weeks, to wait for Luke Fickell to potentially say, you know what, I'm staying at Cincinnati? And more importantly, I think that nobody's brought this up, is that Notre Dame still isn't out of this thing. And if, you know, we heard Gary Barta say that without their head coach, they're potentially out from a college football playoff appearance, barring, you know, I want to say Armageddon this coming weekend. But if they do make the college football playoff, I mean, he has the potential to coach this team up and really get a stepping stone for next year. And the other factor is, Rich, we saw the progression with Dave Aranda, a coordinator at Wisconsin and Baton Rouge, takes over in Waco last year, you know, a disappointing 2-7 campaign. But in year number two, he's in the Big 12 championship and has one of the most dominant defenses in the conference.
Yeah, really good comparison. I like that. I wasn't thinking in terms of Dave Aranda, but I could see the parallels there with Marcus Freeman, youngish defensive coordinator, no head coaching experience, very cerebral, outstanding recruiter. And just to go back to the recruiting in Notre Dame, one of the biggest losses, if Marcus Freeman is not promoted, would be in terms of recruiting in general. He's an outstanding attractor of talent. Has been a, had a big role over the last 12 months and now into this recruiting cycle. If he were, say, not to get the job, maybe follow Brian Kelly to Baton Rouge and be the defensive coordinator down in the SEC, ND's recruiting class for 2022 or 2021-22 would take a severe hit. But yeah, it's a good call, Joe. I could see a parallel to Dave Aranda, who in year two has done a great job and obviously has those Baylor Bears competing for a Big 12 title Saturday night in Arlington.
Yeah, when you look at the top
four, Saturday afternoon, I should say. I apologize.
Yeah, it's going to be a great atmosphere in Jerry's world. When you look at the top four that was released on Tuesday, any problems with the top four in terms of having Michigan in there, obviously at number two after their dominance, and then having Cincinnati in the four hole?
No, I didn't. The one thing I was looking for more than anything else was does Michigan get promoted to number two? I thought that was apropos off of last week's big win over Ohio State, the only loss against Michigan State. I think Michigan right now, heading into the Big Ten title game, should be the number two team in the country. So I have no problem at all. I'm interested in Oklahoma State. You know, great year for Mike Gundy, great year for that program and that defense as they face off against Baylor Saturday afternoon in that Big 12 title game. Could Oklahoma State, with a little bit of help, with an upset or an Alabama loss, could Oklahoma State be in the college football playoff, which would be remarkable?
Yeah, knocked off Oklahoma for the first time in seven meetings. So they're hitting on all cylinders heading into Jerry's World. 4.5-point favored over the Baylor Bears. We'll be right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses... that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Picks and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
Back on College Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello in for Mike Carver, who's marrying a couple this weekend. God help us, but he's locked and loaded down in New Orleans, so we'll give a shout out to Mike.
No context there, Joe? Marrying a couple? You're not going to give any context for those of us who
just
don't know
out. I thought he was part of the wedding party. He tells me yesterday that he's ordained. I guess he's actually marrying the couple. It's amazing. God help them.
I know.
God, blessings all around to Mike Carver in that situation.
I wish I had something interesting on my resume like I was ordained.
Joe Lisi is
ordained to cover college football, so we
that
do have
depends.
That.
I'm a certified nut when it comes to that, and you know we've had many situations, Rich, breaking down games, but we left
some
off
of my
with...
fondest memories, Joe. Yeah,
we left off with Mike Gundy and the Oklahoma State Cowboys. They did get the victory, as I mentioned, in Stillwater last week. Trailed by 9 points in the second half. Spencer Sanders and the crew stepped up, did get that victory. 37-33. Now it's a rematch against the Baylor Bears. We talked about it in terms of that situation earlier in the year. They were basically a 3.5-point favorite, dominated the first half, 14-0. Abram Smith broke a 50-yard run in the second half. Baylor had life. Jaylen Warren scored. That put Oklahoma State up 10, and it was lights out after that point. Both teams are playing very well defensively. I think the health of Bohannon, though, does hinder the Baylor offense here. Whether he plays or not, still, I lean to Oklahoma State. I think they have better personnel, Rich, and when you have the top-ranked third-down defense in all of college football, that's enough for me. I do feel they win this ball game convincingly in Arlington.
Yeah, I think the one thing I'm unsure about as this gets closer, Joe, is the convincingly part. I think Oklahoma State wins. I think they're the more complete team. You talked about Gary Bohannon and his injury. Does he play? Is he full strength? I think we'll see him, but if he's not 100%, even a bigger concern against that OSU defense. There's just something special about the team. You saw it Saturday night in Stillwater, in Bedlam, you know, a game that they could have squandered, could have lost that game in the second half. They wind up pulling out the victory. This just seems like a team of destiny, at least from the Big 12 standard. There's something about these guys that I really like. Their identity is built on defense. A lot of the Big 12, shockingly. I mean, look at this game. It's so un-Big 12-like. I mean, you're used to offense, led by Oklahoma. Now you have the league's two best defenses going at it for a league title. I like Oklahoma State. I think it's going to be a bit closer. The number concerns me a little bit at, 5.5 at this point. So I think it's going to be tighter, but I do think we're going to celebrate a Cowboy conference championship.
Yeah, it's down to 4.5 on FanDuel. You got to check around. It did open up at 5.5. Currently, right now, money coming in on the Baylor Bears. Maybe Bohannon's health has something to do with that. Obviously, a rematch type of situation. And we know Dave Aranda did coach in the semifinal playoff game, national championship, a couple of years ago. So the pressure won't get to him being the defensive coordinator for LSU. We'll see how that game plays out. But to your point, Rich, about you know, untypical Big 12 type of situation, because we see the transition throughout the conference. We see Baylor, defensive-minded head coach with Dave Aranda. We see Oklahoma State transition with the ground-and-pound attack with Jaylen Warren. We see Neil Brown, a defensive-minded coach. Chris Klieman, another defensive-minded coach with Kansas State, right? Matt Campbell, a blue-collar offense and defensive line guy. Is that potentially, in your opinion, and I'm just asking this straight up, maybe one of the reasons why Lincoln and Riley maybe moved out west to Southern California. Obviously, money has something to do with that, but he is an offensive mind, right? And we haven't really seen Oklahoma, even though Alex Grinch got this defense to a very respectable level, they still aren't elite up at this point in the season.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, I can't pick Lincoln's brain. This is just the tea leaves that I'm reading. I don't think he was ever happy about the move for Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC. I don't think that sat well with him. Wasn't going to happen immediately, but in a couple of years, Sooners would be playing in the SEC. I think he realizes the road to the playoffs and a potential first national championship for him would have been a lot harder in the SEC. So I think that pathway out in the Pac-12 from a career standpoint, I think it's a great move. I think if you want to get to the mountaintop, it's going to be a hell of a lot easier in the Pac-12 South than it would in one of the SEC divisions, number one. And number two, you know, just listening to his interviews this week, and I get it. I mean, he's a coach. He's a well-paid coach, but he's just a guy. And I think he's a guy who was looking for a new challenge. That opportunity to build in a different area outside of the Big 12, outside of Oklahoma, in a city like Los Angeles, at a storied program like USC, with all of that pomp and circumstance, I think the chance to build, to get to that point that Pete Carroll was over a decade ago, I think was very appealing to him. So it's money, but I think the career move and the desire to build back USC, I think really was something that spoke to him.
Yeah, and obviously we mentioned these quarterbacks. It's a quarterback-driven college football, right? As the quarterback goes, potentially so do the wins and losses. And when you see the talent like DJU go to Clemson, you see JT Daniels, that was the Gatorade Player of the Year a couple of years ago, started at USC and then made his way, obviously, to the Georgia Bulldogs. Bryce Young, that played at Matt or Die, and now he's with Alabama. To keep that in-state talent, and let's not forget, Chip Kelly put a 62 spot on USC, an offensive mind. That team is starting to head into the right direction, back to a bowl game at 7-5 overall. So they needed to compete on a lot of different levels. So why not get and lure Lincoln Riley? I said it, Snoop Dogg, Will Farrell, they'll be dusting off the USC jerseys not before too long to back the Trojans again.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the Pac-12 – with Riley now and Chip Kelly getting this team back on track, can make the college football playoff? Because now you look at Oregon, right? They had the best shot. Mario Cristobal being mentioned for potentially the Miami job. Is that a better job than Oregon at this point? I mean, no. You're going to bolt from Miami?
No, that is not. Just listen, take my word. That is not a better job, especially from a financial standpoint. I mean, you know, Oregon has Nike money. Miami has had the better part of this century, the 21st century. Miami is not where you want to go if you want to build a program and you have an option to stay at Oregon. So I don't think that would be a good move at all. In terms of the Pac-12 and the playoffs, I don't want to get out over my skis, but I think this is a huge win for the entire conference, because now you have Lincoln Riley and Chip Kelly in the same city, in the same division. I know Chip's taken a while to get there, some improvement this year, a lot of improvement this year. But I think Lincoln Riley's going to attract a different caliber of talent. You did a great job of laying out those California quarterbacks, Joe. To me, that's the central theme as to why Clay Helton couldn't get it done. I mean, he did early on, but then just, you know, faded down the stretch. He could not keep the blue chip, especially quarterbacks, talent within the state of California. I think Lincoln Riley will do that based on his reputation, based on all of the Heisman Trophy winners, Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks that he has coached. I think that reputation very far is going to help USC. And as USC goes, so goes the Pac-12. I think it's a big win for the conference. And, you know, here's a name to keep in mind. I don't know what's going to happen, but you talked about quarterbacks and quarterback talent and being a quarterback-driven sport. You know, does Caleb Williams stay in Norman? Oklahoma doesn't have a coach right now. Does he stay in Norman, or does he follow his coach out to Los Angeles and compete with Keaton Slovis and Jackson Dart, where obviously one or both of those kids will eventually transfer as well?
Yeah, that's a great point. And let's not forget, Oklahoma going to lose Spencer Rattler as well. So we have to see how that transpires in Norman. When we come back, we'll break down that Pac-12 championship, Oregon and Utah, Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Mike Carver and Joe Lisi.
Ripping through the Pac-12 championship game Friday night, rematch of Utah and Oregon. This game was played a couple of weeks ago. Utah in Salt Lake City were a 3.5-point favorite, and people were jumping on the Oregon Ducks in that ballgame. 38-7 was the score for the Utah Utes. They ran all over Mario Cristobal and the Oregon Ducks in that ballgame. Now the game moves to Las Vegas. Oregon now, right now on FanDuel, a 2.5-point underdog, -106. They did dominate arch rival Oregon State last week, laid 7.5 in that ballgame, won by double digits. Rich, total set at 57.5, -114 to the over. I went back and forth in this matchup and said Oregon will potentially step up. And then I remember last year where once they won the Pac-12 championship and they had nothing to play for, this team dialed it in against Brock Purdy and Breece Hall on a New Year's Day bowl. They got blown out in that matchup. There's nothing to play for here. Mario Cristobal being mentioned for jobs. I'm going to back Kyle Whittingham and the crew, even on a neutral field, short number. Give me the Utes in this matchup.
Boy, I got to take umbrage with one of your comments, Joe. How could this be nothing to play for? It's a Pac-12 title.
I know.
I mean,
but,
the bowl game last year, I mean, to me, I think a lot to play for. I think there's the pride of getting spanked at Rice Eccles just a couple of weeks ago, 38-7. I think that sticks with these Oregon kids. They got abused in primetime against Utah, and now with a shot at a third straight Pac-12 title. I like Oregon in this game. I think everybody's going to look at that outcome in November and see the final score. It was sheer domination and just figure, you know what, here we go again. But I think you take this team out of Salt Lake City, neutral field. Oregon, I think, has something to prove. I think Kayvon has a big game off the edge. Anthony Brown will be steady. I like Oregon. It's actually one of the games I like quite a bit on Friday night.
Yeah, when I say nothing to play for, I mean in terms of the big picture, right? You know, 2 weeks ago, this team was looking at a college football playoff appearance, right? They had everything in front of them. It was all lined up. They were in the top four. All they had to do was take care of business. And to not even show up in terms of any capacity, offensive line, defensive line, completely dominated in that ball game. That's what I mean. Like, how could you not step up? How could you not make a better effort? It's one thing to lose, Rich, but they got abused in that ball game. Like, there was a lack of focus, lack of preparation.
Mm. Yeah, and I think we're going to learn a lot, Joe, Friday night. You know, and I think it's justified. We've said a lot of nice things throughout the last couple of years about Mario Cristobal, about what kind of a coach, recruiter, program builder he is. To your point, I think we're going to learn a lot about how good he is at motivating these kids. I mean, I don't think it'll be that hard. If I was on the receiving end of a 31-point loss that knocked me out of the playoffs, I'd come out with a vengeance in Vegas on Friday night if I'm Oregon. I mean, we're going to learn a lot about these kids, and we're going to learn a lot about this coach. Now, it's still Oregon. I think if it was, you know, playoffs are out of the mix and you're Alabama, or playoffs are out of the mix and you're Ohio State or Clemson, I could see that a little bit more. But I still think Oregon is small enough to still covet Pac-12 championships and a shot to make it three in a row. I also like Mario in this spot. He's been there and done that, dominated Utah 2 years ago in the Pac-12 title game 2019. So he has the muscle memory on how to get a team prepared for a league championship game, and I think he's going to get it done. It's no disrespect to Kyle Whittingham. Big fan of him as a coach, and I like a lot of the players. I like what Utah's done with their backfield with Cameron Risen and Tavion Thomas, the transfer from Cincinnati. But I think Kayvon puts on a show for NFL scouts, and Oregon gets out with a victory.
Now, if they do lose, any shot that Cristobal bolts, like, is that like the final nail for him to say, you know what, you know, maybe I should move on? I mean, do you think he's a more like a 50-50 shot right now, whether he takes another job? Because we've heard Luke Fickell, we've heard some other coaches. Could Mario Cristobal, if he doesn't go to Miami, is there a potential spot where you could see him jumping if the money's right?
Yeah, I don't know what that opening would be. I mean, I haven't heard anything about, you know, Mario Cristobal to Oklahoma. I think that would be, just from a career standpoint or a brand standpoint, that would be above Oregon at this point. I think Oklahoma's a bigger brand than Oregon. That's, I guess, a possibility. The one that would make the most sense to people who don't know, Mario Cristobal is a Miami Hurricane graduate. You know, so he's an alum. And if he's not going to Miami, he's been pretty vocal. Not to say that always matters. Brian Kelly was pretty vocal that he wasn't leaving Notre Dame. And we saw how that went. But, Mario Cristobal has been pretty vocal that he has no desire to go back to Miami. And I don't blame him. I think he's in a better spot at Oregon right now. I think it's a good fit. Could an NFL team come calling to Mario Cristobal? I think he's got that CEO mentality. Would not shock me at some point if he winds up coaching on Sundays.
Yeah, he's like a Matt Rhule type, right? We saw him have great success at the college level. And I'll say this about Mario Cristobal. In my opinion, when he had Carroll, the quarterback, and T.Y. Hilton there at FIU, they ran him out of town in terms of I thought he should have never have been fired back then. But he's built his career back up, right? You know, offensive line coach with Alabama. And doing great things with Oregon. So we'll see how that situation plays out in the rematch. Rich likes Oregon. I like Utah in that ball game. We were talking off air in the break that you love Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh. Pat Narduzzi now. Money coming in on the Panthers in the ACC championship game. This game was three much of the week. Now on FanDuel, -3.5, +100. On Pittsburgh in this ballgame, total now only 71.5. People say that's 71.5 for a conference championship game. That's high. Well, it's coming down from 72.5, Rich. -110 either way. My heart says take the more blue-collar team, and that would be the Pitt Panthers in this matchup. They played in the ACC championship game a couple of years ago as a double-digit underdog to the Dabo Sweeney and Clemson Tigers. They got blown out in that matchup. But I'm going to roll with Sam Hartman. The fact that they went on the road to Chestnut Hill last week as a favorite, they got it done as a 5.5-point road favorite against a very blue-collar team. In this spot, catching 3.5, I think they win the ball game outright.
Yeah, you know what, Joe? I like the way you're thinking. I like Pitt in this game, by the way. I'll start there. I like the way you're thinking about Wake Forest last weekend. I thought that was a potential trap game. A week after that humbling loss at Clemson, you know, ACC Atlantic Division Championship in front of them that they win. They don't just beat BC on the road. They blow them out 41-10, which I thought was impressive. Spoke a lot to the veteran leadership, not just on the sidelines, but in that locker room as well. I just think Pittsburgh has, in a game that's going to be dominated by the offenses, it's Kenny Pickett versus Sam Hartman. It's the two leading scoring offenses in the ACC, 42.9 versus 42.8 for Pitt. I mean, these are two of the top five scoring offenses, great wide receivers led by Jordan Addison of Pittsburgh. I think Pitt just has the ability to make that one or two defensive stops. Wake can't really stop anybody of significance. I think Pitt can. I think Pitt's got a couple of defensive stoppers, the ability to make a sack here or there, turnover. I think those one or two stops are going to be the difference. Pitt by 7. I like the Panthers to get win number 11 in their first ACC title.
Yeah, it is good to see two different teams in the ACC championship. It's been dominated by the Clemson Tigers. To have Pittsburgh there and Wake Forest and two coaches that are blue-collar, right? Pat Narduzzi and Dave Clawson. I mean, fantastic jobs for both of those programs. Narduzzi, I heard he was potentially rumored to take maybe one of these jobs. I mean, Let me ask you, because deeper question, I thought of this, and we talk about, you know, Scott Frost. He does get the vote of confidence. But at 3-9, you know, who would go to Nebraska? They were, I think the Nebraska team as a whole, in terms of, you know, Trev Alberts and this board, who are you going to get? You know, is Scott the best guy? Maybe you look to a coach like Matt Campbell, or you look to a coach like Pat Narduzzi for Nebraska in the future if Scott can't get it done next year.
Yeah, I wouldn't go. I just don't think Nebraska's a great job right now. The expectations are, to me, are far beyond what the reality is. I think because of the caliber of recruits that you get, the history of that program, that's a great fan base. It's one of the best fan bases in the country. You could see Memorial Stadium is week after week, regardless of what the record is. They're just good, decent, hardworking, passionate fans. I love the fan base at Nebraska, but I don't think the expectations of getting back to where they were in the 80s, the 90s, the beginning of this century is just realistic. I don't think it's a great job. I think the next coach, whoever it's going to be, Joe, I think you're going to have to get that hot mid-major and hope that guy can coach this program up. I know they did it hot mid-major with Scott Frost, but you know, you got to get somebody who's getting it done at a smaller program, someone who's similar to like a Billy Napier, who just took the Florida job right by way of Lafayette, Louisiana. I think that's the guy you got to get. I just, this one, Joe, is a head scratcher for me. I was all in on Scott Frost. I thought it was a right great move for all kinds of reasons, and it just has not worked out.
Yeah, for me, maybe you look to Dave Clawson. I mean, if you could get it done in Winston-Salem, like his predecessor, Jim Grobe, coaching up the offense and defensive lines, has an elite quarterback in Sam Hartman. I'm just saying, baby, maybe Dave Clawson could be leading the Nebraska Cornhuskers in a couple of years. We'll come right back. We'll talk big matchups, Big Ten, SEC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
Michigan dominated Ohio State. They lined open up at 8.5 in favor of the Buckeyes, and C.J. Stroud went down to about 6 right before kickoff. Hassan Haskins, what a huge day. 169 yards on the ground, 5 rushing touchdowns en route to the 13-point win over the Ohio State Buckeyes. Now everything's in front of them. Win, and you're in the college football playoff, Jim Harbaugh. You got to take on Kirk Ferentz, Iowa Hawkeyes. They were on the road last week in Lincoln, trailed 21-9, won that ball game 28-21 right here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Michigan, a 10.5-point favorite, -108 on FanDuel. Total set at 43.5, juice to the over at -112. Rich, I went back and forth because both of these teams played 2 years ago in the Big House. It was a great game. 10-3, Michigan got the win. It was a low, gutty defensive battle. But I said, you know, Michigan, this could be a letdown for them. And then I thought about it. I thought about the Iowa offense with Petras. And even if Padilla does get in a backup role, and I said, you know what? Lack of playmakers, one-dimensional. Michigan looks dialed in. I'm going to lay the 10.5 in this matchup.
As am I, Joe. It's funny the way you couch this Big Ten title game. I did the same thing because I think there's two ways to look at it psychologically. Half the country thinks that Michigan is in store for a letdown, right? The epic upset of Ohio State, all that meant from a rivalry standpoint, that scene in the Big House afterwards, that I guess we'd call it a smirk. Jim Harbaugh does smile occasionally. It's probably a smirk at the end of the game. And all is right in Ann Arbor. So, yeah, letdown potential. I tend to agree with you, though. I don't think it's a letdown. I think it's something opposite. I think this program now has renewed confidence that did not exist prior to Saturday's game. team. This is going to be a different, more confident Michigan team. Jim Harbaugh is most successful as a coach when he can ground and pound, when he can bully the opposing team, when he wins at the line of scrimmage, and that's exactly what we saw against Ohio State. The offensive line, as good as Hassan was, and he was great, 169 and 5 touchdowns, that offensive line was the real hero on offense. I thought Cade McNamara did a nice job of spreading the ball around. And Aiden Hutchinson, David Ajabo, and that defense were fantastic as well. I think this is a confident Michigan team. Iowa wins close games. I just don't think this one's going to be close.
I agree with you. I think it's going to be like, you know, 23-7. I think it's going to be one of those dominations where they take control from the start of the game to the end. I do like the under. Typically, Big Ten championship games trend to the under. Last year, 22-10 in favor of the Buckeyes. They were 20.5-point favorites. Northwestern covered 2 years ago. It was a higher scoring game with Wisconsin and Ohio State. The underdog covered yet again. And if you just look at the body of work, you're just supposed to blindly bet the underdog, but I can't do that in that matchup just because you look at the talent for Iowa. They're a good team, Rich. No speed really on the perimeter. And if you look at an earlier game when they were hitting on all cylinders, Iowa, against Penn State, they were struggling with that defense, right? Mm-hmm. And then if we're talking about the front seven with Aiden Hutchinson now that just dominated Ohio State's offensive line, Hutchinson set a single season record now with 13 total sacks for the Wolverines. He's going to be in the backfield early and often on third down situations.
Yeah, Iowa always has a good offensive line, very strong on the interior, led by their center, best center in the country, Tyler Linderbaum. But off on the edge, they're young. And, you know, Connor Colby is a starting tackle. He's a freshman. And he's got a bright future, but he's young. Colby's is going to have to handle one of those edge rushers, either Hutchinson or Ajabo. I don't think it goes well. I don't know where the points come from for Iowa. And if you look at their two losses this year, Joe, and I think you're very close to spot on in terms of a final score. I think we saw how this game's going to play out in those back-to-back losses that Iowa had against Purdue, 24-7 loss. Against Wisconsin, solid defensive team, 27-7 loss. I think it could be that type of a game. I don't think Michigan's going to light up Iowa, but if this was 24-7, 27-7, that would not surprise me in the least because, again, to your point, Iowa struggling under center. Tyler Goodson's a nice running back, but without balance in the passing game, without the speed to stretch that defense, unless Iowa, like last week against Nebraska, finds alternate ways to score points or have a short field, I just don't think they're going to have much success offensively.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, if Hutchinson does step up, and let's say it's a similar type of performance, 3 sacks where they win this ball game convincingly, at 16-1, deserving of the Heisman, let's say mm-hmm. Bryce Young, let's say Alabama wins or if they win, he'll definitely have to put up numbers against Georgia. But let's say the Alabama wins and they get, let's say, 200 yards out of Bryce Young with a touchdown and a pick. Okay, and Hutchinson does record 3 sacks at 16-1. Worth the shot here, and does he win it in your opinion?
Yeah, I think there's value. I feel like I have a good pulse on what Heisman voters are thinking right now, Joe, and I still think the majority of Heisman voters are saying to themselves, I'm holding my ballot. I'm waiting until the final weekend. I want to see someone on championship weekend knock my socks off because Bryce Young is the favorite. And listen, if Bryce Young solves Georgia's defense, if he's the first quarterback this year to solve Georgia's defense, it's over. Everybody's going to be watching. Georgia's been lights out. If Bryce Young has a solid game and Alabama wins, I think he's your Heisman Trophy winner. I don't expect that to happen, though. I think he's going to have as much problem, especially since, you know, Brian Robinson, the running back's not healthy. They don't have a lot of running back depth. The offensive line got abused by Auburn last week for 7 sacks. I don't think Bryce Young's going to have a good game Saturday afternoon. I think he's going to struggle like everybody else has against Georgia, which is going to create an opening because who else is going to win the Heisman? It's not going to be C.J. Stroud off of last weekend. He'll be top 10. Not sure about Kenneth Walker right now. I think he's sort of faded in the eyes of the public, and he doesn't play this weekend. I think voters are going to be looking for a defensive player. I honestly believe that if Aiden Hutchinson and or Will Anderson in the SEC title game has a monster effort in a victory, I think one of those two defensive players can win the Heisman Trophy.
I agree. Right, and you have tradition on your side if you don't want to back Bryce Young. Show me the Alabama quarterback that's won the Heisman Trophy, right, for that point. You know, I mean, everybody thought it would be Tua. It would be Mac Jones. No, they withered it down the stretch. And you could have made the argument that Mac Jones was deserving last year. Even though Devontae Smith was putting up numbers, the voters went in an opposite direction over the last 2 weeks of the season. And now we've seen Hutchinson gaining some momentum. Obviously, you knock off Ohio State for the first time in 8 meetings, right? They lost 8 straight. And 9th time, you get it done. You record 3 sacks. I mean, that's a good start heading into championship weekend. When you talk about the SEC championship, and it is a rematch potentially, we've seen Georgia and Alabama go toe-to-toe in the national championship, SEC championship, where Jalen Hurts did pull that ball game out in come-from-behind fashion a few years ago. Georgia was basically a 4.5-point favorite until last weekend. After Georgia rolled 45-0 over G-Tech, and Alabama struggled to win that ball game on the road in the Plains 24-22. Now, Alabama, a 6.5-point dog, Rich. Total opened up at 50.5, down to 49.5. Juice to the under at -114. I'm going different here. I, you know me with Alabama. I mean, I'm usually against them, but in this spot, I just think from a formation perspective, the wide receivers, Mechie, you look at Williamson, right? You look at Latu, the tight end. I don't know if Georgia's seen that type of personnel. And you can make the argument Clemson week one, but Justin Ross and that offense were inconsistent in that ballgame. They really haven't faced an offense that's going to challenge them vertically from a formation and motion standpoint. And that's where I give the edge to the mad scientist Bill O'Brien, but more importantly, Nick Saban.
I'm with you, Joe. With these two heavyweights in a title bout, that this is anything but a close four-quarter game. I think if you can get, and I understand all of the warts on Alabama this year, back-to-back games in which they've won by 7 points or less against, you know, a good Arkansas team and an average Auburn team. So clearly there are problems there. It's not the elite defense we're used to. The offensive line, I mentioned, has plenty of issues. And Georgia's Georgia this year. But listen, it's Nick Saban. And it's Nick Saban with his usual array of blue chip talent on both sides of the ball. He's got a poised young quarterback in Bryce Young. I think this is a 60-minute battle. I think it's going to be fascinating till the end. To your point, Georgia has not been tested this year. Certainly not to the caliber that they'll be tested. The only time they really were tested, I guess, was Clemson, and that was a 10-3 game. But the other thing is, like, I don't know what to expect from Georgia's offense. Hasn't faced the speed, the size, the power that Alabama possesses. We talked about Will Anderson, but there's more than just Will Anderson on that defense. It's still a talented crew, outstanding in the secondary, and you got a walk-on quarterback in Stetson Bennett. It's done a great job, but you know, are we confident that Stetson Bennett can step up in this setting against this opponent? I'm not quite sure at this point, so I would take the 6.5 points.
Yeah, now we saw Stetson Bennett go toe-to-toe for a half with Alabama last year in Tuscaloosa, and then Jalen Waddle and that offense blew it open in the second half. Alabama did lay 5 last year's meeting, obviously a different team with Mac Jones at the helm. But I do want to ask, does Kirby panic in this situation where, let's say Bryce gets hot early, let's say Alabama puts up a quick 10, Stetson is struggling, you think he pulls him? You think he pulls him with JT in the wings? Okay, so this is a situation where it's all hands on deck. I mean, there's no way I don't think Kirby wants to lose this ballgame, right? I mean, they've been the most dominant team in college football from a defensive perspective all season long. If there's a little chink in the armor entering this ballgame, I think he will panic as well because he wants that perfect season. He wants to knock out Nick. He doesn't want to have to reface them in either a semifinal or potential national championship game.
Yeah, no, Joe, I agree with you. I think, you know, some people might say Georgia doesn't have to have this game, and they don't. If Georgia loses this game, I don't care what the final score is. Georgia's in the playoffs. The regular season stands on its own. But I totally agree with you. Kirby needs it. Georgia needs it. Kirby hasn't beaten Georgia during his time in Athens. And I love what you mentioned. I'll echo that. He does not want to see Nick Saban again in the playoffs. I think he realizes that if he knocks out Alabama here and Alabama doesn't get in as a two-loss team, the pathway to a national championship for the first time since 1980 for Georgia is a hell of a lot easier with Alabama out. I'm not saying that Georgia rolls, but their odds to win a national championship get exponentially easier if they win the SEC title game.
Yeah, and Alabama did take care of her business last year, did not cover a huge number of 17.5, 18 against Kyle Trask and the Florida Gators. Total did open at 50.5, down to 49.5. I love the over in this ball game. Think there will be a lot of points. When Rich and I come back, we'll wrap it up with an under-the-radar championship game. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
Wrapping up today's show, an hour flies with Rich and I breaking down all the conference championships, coaches, changes. We'll talk about the Mountain West Championship, Brady Hoke and San Diego State with a dominant double-digit win as a 2.5-point underdog against Boise State. Utah State and Blake Anderson doing fantastic things this year, 9-3 overall. Line was basically 5.5 in favor of Brady Hoke and the crew. Now it's ballooned up to 6.5, minus 106 on FanDuel. With the Aztecs, you want to take a shot with Utah State. They're minus 114, Rich. Total set at 49. And a hook at minus 114 to the over. I lean to Utah State. I love San Diego State, but give me 6.5 points in a championship game. But my best play is the over. I do feel this sails through the 49.5, 50 points in this ballgame.
Yeah, just one quick note. You mentioned Blake Anderson. I don't know if it's been announced yet, but I'm assuming he's the Mountain West Coach of the Year. This is an Aggie team that was picked to finish fifth in the Mountain Division before the season began. They go ahead and win it. I lean towards San Diego State in this one. Brady Hoke has also done a really nice job this year. A championship time, playoff time, I'm going to go with the better defense. Utah State has some nice playmakers. Logan Bonner, well-traveled quarterback. Devin Tompkins, one of the better playmakers that probably nobody is talking about at wide receiver. But San Diego State just gets it done defensively year after year, regardless of who the coach is. This year being no different. I would just invite anybody in the audience who has not seen the Aztecs, and that is a 3 o'clock game on Fox. Check out Cameron Thomas up front. I think he's one of the most underrated defensive players in the entire country. I think he's a day two type of a draft choice. Give me San Diego State, given 17 points per game. I think they cover that number.
For Rich Sermonello, our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll be back tomorrow with a full recap of all the championship games' best bets. Have a great day, everyone.